Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to worship here at Living Hope. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you. You guys are an enthusiastic bunch today. That's good. All right. I look forward to hearing you sing in just a minute. But before we do that, can we bow our heads and pray as we start today? Thank you, God, for the great love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. He's the reason that we're here. Because in Jesus, you have shown us just how much you love us. So today, God, I pray that you would sink that truth deep into our hearts and souls, that we would know that we are loved by you, the God who made us. Guide us by your Holy Spirit as we sing to you, as we pray to you, as we listen for your voice, your Spirit speaking through your word, as we gather around the table of our Lord Jesus. Throughout this hour, God, help us to have hearts and minds open to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, if you're interested, let's stand and let's sing. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, God, for the opportunity to worship you and to celebrate the great love that you have shown us in Jesus Christ. You know, God, that there are so many different things that compete for our attention, for our affection. So many different things that we are tempted to have our lives revolve around that are not you. And today we come and we sing that you alone are God. You alone are Savior. You alone are the one that we need. And you're the one who, well, we were created, God, to be connected to you, to draw life from you, to have your breath in our lungs. God, I pray that like the Bible talks about us living by your Holy Spirit and keeping in step with your Spirit. God, I pray that you would help us to walk with you through this life, to center our lives around you, to follow Jesus, and to not be so easily distracted by all the different things that pull us away, all the worries and the concerns, all the good things, God, that grab our attention, that grab our affection. God, today, as we come to you, as we center our hearts and our minds on you, would you help us to find in you the faithful, loving, gracious God that we know you to be from our own experiences and from the stories in Scripture, from the experiences of Christians down through the ages. God, we know that we can come to you today and find forgiveness for our sins. We can come to you today and find healing for our brokenness. We can come to you today and find comfort for our grief, find wisdom, find guidance, find strength. God, we can find those things that we need in you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. Shake some hands. Wish someone a happy Sunday or the peace of Christ. Hope everybody got one of these little welcome bulletin things when you came in. Let you know what's going on around here these days. And of course, inside there is that little welcome card. Always love it when you can share with us any questions or concerns or prayer requests or anything at all, any note, any limerick, anything you want to share on that. Just drop it in the offering box before you go, and that way I can follow up with you. And of course, if you have an offering that you're giving today and you're not giving online like we do, you can drop it in that offering box as well. And then there's some notes in there for this morning's message. And some of you have been asking me, like, okay, Rich, you told us a couple weeks ago that the front of the church was going to get, you know, there's going to be construction going on, and I haven't seen anything happen. And we bumped into a little problem with one of the materials the architect had selected wasn't right and didn't meet the code or whatever, and so they're going back and forth, and hopefully we'll get a building permit this week and can get some things started. So one of these days, you will see the front of that church coming down and a new one going up. And that will be a good thing, especially for the next time it rains, so that we don't have any more water. That the one out there is falling apart and leaking, so we have to replace it. All right. There are probably some other things I should be mentioning that I'm forgetting. Anybody know of something I should be talking about that I haven't talked about? Anybody have anything they're just excited about this week that they're celebrating and you want to share with the rest of your congregation? I heard it. Oh, how did I know you might want to share this with people? Say who you are and what you're excited about or thanking God for.
My name's Beth, and I'm just praising God that I got a new grandbaby, a new granddaughter, and she, thank you. And she's healthy and beautiful, and Mama's doing good, and all's well, and God's great.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else excited about anything today, and you wanted to, and you two had to sit on opposite ends of the room, didn't you? Well, of course you did.
I'm Pam, and I'm a new grandma. As of Wednesday, I have two grandsons, but I now have a little granddaughter. And after having three sons, two grandsons, I'm excited to have another lady in the house.
Little girl, that's right. All right. You could have grabbed me when I was walking past you a second ago. I wasn't watching.
I'm Amanda, and as many of you know from Facebook, I have officially accepted a fifth grade position at Boone Grove Elementary for this fall. So.
Very cool. Anybody else thanking God for anything, celebrating anything today that you just can't wait to share? Okay, all right. I knew there were a couple of them out there, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity for us and for us to celebrate with you and to thank God with you for the good things that are happening in your life. I know that some of you are, you needed that little bit of encouragement to know that there are good things happening, because in your own life, it's just frustrations these days. And some of you are going to be, maybe you've already filled one of those welcome cards with all the things, please be praying about this because I don't know what to do with this. But I also know that if I ask, that you're probably not going to be willing to share that with the rest of the room. So can we just bow our heads for a moment and thank God for the good things and pray for the things that we need Him to help with. God, we are grateful to you for all the many blessings that you pour out on us, good things like healthy grandbabies and new jobs. God, we have many reasons to give you thanks today. God, you know that there are some of us in the room that are just, we're struggling to feel thankful right now because things are difficult. And God, we lift up those who are struggling, who are sick, who are frustrated, who are afraid. God, we lift them up to you today, and we lift our needs to you. We know, God, from Scripture that you are a God who hears the cries of those in need, and you come down to rescue. And so we pray, God, that you would do that again. We pray that you would be present in our lives, full of love and grace and power and help. Thank you, God. And I pray that you would give us wisdom, because it seems like the way you continue to offer that help is through us. And so, God, as we see people around us who need encouragement, who need help, I pray that you would move us by your Holy Spirit to extend your grace and your love to people in need. Thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. And I pray that you would speak through your scriptures, speak through me, speak by your Holy Spirit, God, that we might hear the things that you need us to hear today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you've got some notes there. Right at the top says, be yourself. And in part today, I mentioned last week that we're going to start just a little series kind of in these few weeks we have before school starts and before people's schedules start to shift gears to talk about sharing your faith. It was just kind of a side thing to another message that this scripture popped up, this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it has this phrase in it that we are Christ's ambassadors. And I thought, you know what, it's been a while since we've really talked about what that looks like. And some of you have expressed some real uneasiness about that. And so for these few weeks here, I want to hopefully help us to feel a little more at ease about that, to not kind of freak out so much when it comes to the idea of like talking to somebody about Jesus. And so this is the scripture right here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul is talking about why he does some of the crazy things he does as he goes around to tell people about Jesus. He says, it's Christ's love that compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves but for him who died for them and was raised again. And we talked about this last week, how this is really good news. In verse 19 says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As we get sent into the world, as we go all the different places we go, we live in this world as Christ's ambassadors, representing Jesus, who has given his life for us, that's made a new life possible for you and for me. And we have this good news that God is not against you. God is not angry with you. God is not counting your sins against you. That in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. So if there's a barrier between anybody and the God who loves them and the God who made them, it's not on God's part. It's not God who's keeping someone at arm's length. It's us who try to be our own God, who try to run our own lives. We have this good news that says, look, God is for you. He's not counting your sins against you. He has taken care of that in Christ. Now, I mentioned for some of you, that's just the thought of even bringing this up or mentioning the name Jesus to somebody or even mentioning that you went to church. For some of us, we're afraid of this. Some of you maybe even get to the point where, like, you get the shakes. You know, like, I was walking around with a microphone, and some of you are like, you wanted to share something, but you just can't bear the thought of, like, grabbing a microphone and talking to a group of people in a room. And some of you have that same kind of anxiety when it comes to a conversation about Jesus. to the point where some of you almost, like, you work your way around the topic, you know. Somebody asks, oh, what do you have going on this weekend? And you mention everything but going to church on Sunday. You know, because like, oh, but if I mention church, then that's going to lead to something. And I don't know if and we dodge the question. We dodge the topic. And this idea that here's Rich saying, oh, the Bible says we're all Christ's ambassadors, that we're supposed to be getting out there and sharing our faith. Some of you are thinking, no, please no. I don't want to do it. Well, today I want to, in some ways, let you off the hook. All right? In some ways, I want to say, look, it's okay. You don't have to get out there and knock on doors. You don't have to go and become like a full-time evangelist or someone who just, you know, tries to work Jesus into every conversation, you know. Someone stops and asks if you want to buy Girl Scout cookies and you find a way somehow to make the conversation about Jesus and about coming to church or something, you know. You don't have to do that. I put there in your notes, some definitely are called and gifted evangelists. Some, God has just given them a gift for this, a passion for this, for telling the good news about Jesus, and they're called to it. That's what Paul was. He was called to this. It was a mission given to him by God to travel all around the Mediterranean, telling people everywhere about Jesus. And maybe that's you. Maybe you are one of those who that's a gift that God has given you. That's a burning passion he's placed in your heart. You just love the idea of having a conversation with someone who doesn't know Jesus and helping them to see just how beautiful the love of God is that's in display in him and helping them come to accept that, having them come to a point of saying yes to Jesus, of turning their life over to him and experience that new life. But we're not all called to this. We're not all gifted for this. But we are all called and gifted to talk to people about Jesus. We're not so off the hook that you're like, oh, good, I don't ever have to mention Jesus. That would just be weird, wouldn't it? I mean, if Jesus is the center point of your life, if you have found this new life in him, and your old life is gone and a new life has begun, you found forgiveness and freedom because of you trusting Jesus and you're following him, then it would seem weird if he never, ever comes up in a conversation, wouldn't it? Can you imagine for a second talking to a friend? I'm married, have been married for 20 years, and I can't imagine somebody that knew me for more than like a few weeks, maybe not even that long, you know, would be like, oh, you're married? I had no idea you were married. You know, like, I would have to really work to like avoid talking about my wife or avoid talking about my life in general for someone not to pick up on the fact that I'm married at some point, right? I'm trying to imagine just how hard that would be. I'd have to like be purposefully trying to avoid mentioning the fact that I'm married somehow, because it would just come up. It would just happen at some point. I would mention my wife, or I'd mention something that we did, or I would mention, I don't know, somehow, because Stacy is such a huge part of my life, it would be tough for someone to know me and not know that I'm married. I kind of think in that same way about Jesus. Like, it ought to be tough for someone to know us for a prolonged period of time and not know that we're like a Christian, and not know that we are in love with Jesus, and not know that our lives are centered around learning from him and following him, and that he's the one that's guiding our lives. So all of us are called and gifted to at least talk to people about Jesus, to not avoid Jesus. Like I said, this doesn't mean you have to get out there and knock on doors. This doesn't mean you have to have a bullhorn on the corner. This doesn't mean you have to grab the mic and stand up in front of a church and proclaim something. Instead, let me look at these verses here from Colossians chapter 4. This again is the Apostle Paul. He's encouraging them he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. He was arrested for going around telling people about Jesus, all right? But he's saying, pray for us that we can proclaim this clearly. He says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So he's asking them to pray for us who are on this mission called gifted evangelists. This is our thing. We tell people about Jesus, and it has consequences, sometimes negative. So pray for us. And then he says to them, he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, people who aren't a part of the church community, people who don't know Jesus. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. He says, there are going to be times where someone's going to ask you a question. Because your conversations have been gracious and you've been making the most of opportunities to love your neighbors, to let the light of Christ shine through your life, there are going to be moments where people ask you a question and you just want to be ready to answer that. There was one author, great little book I've just been reading recently, called Surprise the World. He says, we Christians need to be living questionable lives. We need to be living our lives in such a way that people would want to stop and ask us, like, what's that about? Why do you do that? And I don't mean, like, you know, so you don't cut your hair or something, or you wear different clothes or those kinds of things. Although if you did that, I'm sure people would have questions. They'd be like, so what's that about? Why are you wearing the long skirts these days, Rich? You know, I'm sure if we were to dress weird or do something, you know, people would ask questions. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's saying your lives should just be lived in such a different way that people are going to ask you, like, so why that person just was, like, so rude to you. Why weren't you rude back? Why, you know, that coworker has continued to be, every day you come in and that person's got some snide remark and you never return the favor. In fact, you seem to go out of your way to be nice to them. What's that about? We should live our lives in such a way that people have questions. And when they do, we just have opportunities to answer and to say, and this is the time where we can chicken out and say, no, I just don't want to be a jerk, you know. Or we could say, well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to, you know, say something back to them, but you know what? God loves them and he loves me, and so I want them to know that God loves them. And I'm guessing they probably have a hard time. And you can talk as much as you want at that point, but if Jesus is changing your life, if he is helping you to be a more patient person, a more forgiving person, a more kind and generous person, go ahead and give him credit for it. And say, you know what, a couple of years ago I would have given him the finger and let him know what's what. But you know what, Jesus is changing my life. And I don't know, I guess I'm not as angry as I used to be, or I'm not as irritable as I used to be. We should be living lives that give rise to questions from people who don't have this hope. And give us an opportunity to share with them the hope that we have. That's how Peter puts it. So Paul says this in Colossians. Peter, another one of Jesus' apostles, disciples, sent everywhere to tell people about Jesus. He says it in one of his letters there in the Bible. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's a long sentence. He says, some people are going to ask you to give the reason for the hope that you have. He said, you're going to be displaying a life marked by hope. And some people are going to say, why do you have hope? And he says, you want to be ready to give them an answer. He says, but do this with gentleness and respect. You know, you're respectful. You're not trying to stomp on their toes. You're not trying to squeeze them into some kind of a sales pitch or anything like that. You're being gentle. You're being respectful. You're understanding they probably disagree. They probably are coming from a different angle. You know, they might not have any idea of all the story, the Bible, and all this kind of stuff. So I'm not going to beat them over the head with the Bible. It says, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You know, well, maybe you don't know, but you've probably experienced at some point, you're trying to do something good, and it just seems like it's not paying off. Is that right? I'm trying to think of how the best way to say that. There's actually a little pithy saying for that, and I can't remember how it goes now. Well, you do good, and it seems like it backfires on you. You're trying to do... That's what it is. Thank you. No good deed goes unpunished. Shannon thought of it. I couldn't think of it. No good deed goes unpunished. It sometimes seems that way, doesn't it? You're doing something that you think is good, that God has called you to do. You're trying to be kind. You're trying, and they think, Oh, so you're just brown-nosing the boss, huh? Oh, I see, you're trying to get ahead. Oh, I see, you're trying to pull a fast one, huh? Trying to get me to think that you're all this goody-two-shoes so that later on you can come and stick the knife in my back. And sometimes people will speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ. And he says, just be ready to give an answer. Be gentle, be respectful, keep a clear conscience so that in those moments those people have nothing to point to. Nothing to point to that says, that's your real motivation here. You just want a notch on your belt. You think that if you can somehow get me to church, you're going to win a prize or something like that. You're going to get another little gold star. He says, no, just be ready. Just be ready to give an answer. You don't have to go out of your way to try to create opportunities to talk about Jesus. Now, you can if you want to. You can do whatever it takes to try to bridge a conversation toward Jesus. But you don't have to. You don't have to be awkward about it. Just live your life in such a way. Let Christ transform your life and live openly to the point where people are going to ask you, like, what's that about? And you have the opportunity to not dodge the question, to just be honest, gentle, respectful, gracious. Give an answer that includes Jesus. Now, some of the things in the Bible that I sometimes have a hard time with, that I get frustrated with, are for this very reason. Because the Apostle Paul or Peter or whoever's writing the letter is trying to say, you know what, if you live your life in this way, that will be good for the spread of the gospel. That will help people to see that God really is good. Like this verse right here from Titus chapter 2. Sometimes the Bible, they're called household codes because of the way households were structured in those days, and they were telling them, okay, they've got instructions for husbands, for wives, for kids, for slaves, and sometimes there are several letters in the New Testament where you just kind of see them go through that list. It's like, husbands, you should love your wives, you should do this. Wives, you should respect your husbands or submit to them or whatever. And that's the part, one of the parts I have real trouble with, the idea of wives submitting to their husbands, husband's supposed to be in charge. Anyway, then I have something to say to kids, and I have something to say to slaves, like teach slaves to be subject to their masters and everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them. And I think, wait a minute, shouldn't the good news of the gospel be that, well, and it isn't, are there scriptures that say, look, there's no more slave and free, this whole thing is, people shouldn't be enslaving other people. But instead of saying, slaves, look for any opportunity you have to, sneak away and to get free, and, Christians, we ought to be helping these slaves to escape, doesn't say that. They say, teach slaves to be subject to their masters and everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. It says the way you live your life can either make the good news about Jesus more attractive or it can make it less attractive. And some of these things that give me pause about slaves or about the way husbands and wives relate to each other, in their setting, they knew, okay, this, if you live this way, people are going to kind of recognize this is different. They're going to kind of flip their lid. They're going to be like, whoa. Well, most slaves are angry about the fact that they have to be slaves. Most slaves are and I will acknowledge the slavery in the Bible is different than the slavery we experienced here in the United States. But still, said most people would be like, well, I can't wait till I get out from under this contract and out from under your, rule or whatever, and I can't wait. If you're not watching, I'm not going to be working hard, that's for sure. And instead they're saying, no, do your work well. Impress your master. Do your work so that make sure they can trust you, because then that shows that the good news of Jesus is really making a difference in your life. Same thing for some of that husband and wife stuff. The way husbands and wives related in those days was not as good as what's described there in Scripture. The idea for a husband to love his wife and to, sacrifice for her was just kind of unheard of in Roman society. For a wife not to just be backbiting or sniping or whatever, for her to be submissive and respectful was whoa, you guys are weird. It was one of those questionable things that they could do that would help people see that the good news of Jesus transforms people in a positive way. So I put up at the top, be yourself, because I'm not asking you to change who you are. What I think Scripture is saying is just let Christ change your life like he already is. And just cooperate with that in a way that leads to people asking questions, it leads to opportunities. And then don't shy away from those opportunities. We had a moment happen And just after last Sunday, where I was telling you, you know, hey, we're Christ's ambassadors, let's be praying for opportunities to talk to people and to have spiritual conversations that kind of open the door for maybe a conversation about Jesus or something else. And right after that, sometime last week, we went to Valparaiso and with the boys, and we divide and conquer. You know, we got two boys, one and a half, and so I'll be with one, Stacy will be with the other, and they go wherever they go, and we just kind of, it's a man-to-man defense. Every now and then we can switch to zone, but mostly it's man-to-man. And so I'm off somewhere with one of them, and Stacy's back over here with another, and when we kind of cross paths again, she's talking to this other woman who's got this child who's right around our kid's age, and like, oh, this is a perfect thing, oh, great. And I hear Stacy say, you know, they're just talking about kids and sharing, and you know, we have two boys, twin boys. You'd think they'd be better at sharing. You know, they have opportunity to learn all the time what it means to share. You know, where I think the other child was like an only child, and they were talking about how, yeah, she doesn't really have opportunity to learn how to share yet, and those kinds of things. And Stacy was talking about how, yeah, our boys, you'd think, but no, you know, they still would rather like take the toy from the other person and, you know, bite them if they can, if they try to take it, and all those kinds of things. But then Stacy said, just in conversation, you know, the other day, we got the boys back from the church nursery, and the people in the nursery said, oh, they did such a beautiful job of sharing with each other today. And I thought, really? Our boys? And she just mentioned this in this conversation. And I don't know if she was doing this on purpose to like, bring up the fact that we go to church and to just get that out there, which gives them an opportunity to then say, oh, really? Yeah. And, oh, she does great in our church nursery. Hey, they go to church. Or to say, really, what church do you go to? Or whatever. But it just dropped. Nothing else was said about it. Nothing else was said about church in that moment. The other person didn't pick up, you know, Stacy kind of put it out there, and the other person didn't pick it up, didn't run with it. And I felt like in that moment, like I had an opportunity to like build off of that, and I didn't. I had just been talking to you guys about it, and I didn't. I just let it go. I had felt this weird little awkwardness in me, like I should somehow follow that. Oh, look, my kid's running away, you know. So later, I had to kind of like, a little bit awkwardly bring it back up somehow, and Stacy tells me as we're walking away, oh yeah, they go to this other church, and I'm like, oh, good grief, okay, I'm gonna, off the hook, okay, whatever. I share that just to say, I feel the same awkwardness, I sometimes shy away from the opportunity to have the conversation, and my wife is much better at it than I am, let's put all that out there. On the back of this, on the back of your notes, you'll see this list. And this comes from a book called Becoming a Contagious Christian that's been out for a long, I think 20 years now or something. And in there, they describe how each of us kind of have a different personality or a different way of doing this. Sometimes this lines up with your personality or maybe just who you are or your gifts or something. Six different ways of talking to people about Jesus. We don't have time to just, you know, go through and nail each of them. But I wanted to share this with you so that you've got some places to look later. At some different examples from Scripture, some different theme verses, six different ways of approaching these kinds of conversations. You know, some of you, you're very direct, you know, and Peter in Acts 2 is just like, he just stood up and he just preached a message about Jesus, and, you know, you guys crucified him, but God has raised him from the dead, and they're like, whoa, what do we do with this? And he says, well, you need to repent and be baptized and let God transform your life. It's just a very direct presentation of the story of Jesus. And some of you, that's who you are. You're very direct. And if you have an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, you're just going to lay it all out there. Some of you take a more intellectual approach. Paul in Acts 17 with this kind of philosopher's group he was speaking to, he's a good example of that. A testimonial approach is one where you're basically saying, well, here's what Jesus did for me. The blind man in John 9 is a great example of that. I love his story because in the middle of it, as he's being questioned about what Jesus did and healing him, he's like, look, I don't know who he is. I don't know if you're saying he's a prophet or something. I don't know. All I know is I used to be blind. Now I can see, and it's because of Jesus. And by the end, Jesus comes along, and they talk some more, and he learns better who Jesus is and what he's about. But he just has an opportunity to say, well, this is what he's done for me. An interpersonal approach basically just means you're not trying to do this one-on-one. You're involving other people. It's a relational kind of deal. Matthew, he's called Levi in Luke chapter 5, does this. He was a tax collector. Despised by his fellow Jews because he was collaborating with the Romans. And Jesus says, hey, I want you to be part of my team, part of one of my disciples, to travel with me and to learn from me. I'm going to invest in you. And the first thing he does is he turns around and he throws a big dinner party for all his tax collector buddies and invites Jesus and his other disciples, and he gets them together. So some of you, it's the interpersonal approach, and you're like, oh, yeah, let's have a cookout. I'll invite some friends from church. I'll invite some of my neighbors who don't know God, and we'll just see where it goes. you know, and have opportunities for, well, how do you guys know each other? Oh, we go to church together. Oh, really? And hey, who knows where that conversation might lead? Some of you, it's an invitational approach that you gravitate toward most, like the woman at the well in John chapter 4, where she basically goes back to her neighbors and says, hey, you got to meet this guy. I've just been talking to this guy I met at the well, Jesus. I think he might be the Messiah. I think he might be, you know, the one that's used by God. He knew everything I ever did, and he's still talking to me and loving me. So you got to meet him. I think two of the earliest disciples, many of them, when Jesus approached them, they went and they got like a brother or a friend, and they're like, hey, come meet this. I think I found the Messiah. You got to come and meet him. Just inviting people to come. I especially kind of like this one. It could be as simple as inviting someone to church, or it could be you're inviting them to join you on a journey of discovery yourself, like the disciple did, like the woman at the well. Like, hey, I'm learning more about this Jesus guy, and I'm kind of excited about it. Why don't you come with me? Why don't you learn with me? And then the sixth one is the serving style, which basically puts the emphasis on the serving people, meeting those needs, and knowing that then eventually will raise questions. There's a woman named Tabitha, or Dorcas in another language, in Acts chapter 9. I think she probably went by Tabitha, but I would. But she was known for her acts of service, and that led to people who were interested in Christ because of that. And so those are just six different styles, and I lay those out just so you can know, like, oh, okay, so one thought. So maybe I don't have to, like, change my personality or act like that person over there in order to share my faith. No, I can use the whatever way that seems to fit me best. And I also wanted to share this list because maybe you've got somebody and you've been trying one approach and it just seems like you're just beating your head against the wall. There's somebody you know God has put them in your life so you can share your faith with them, so you can share the good news about Jesus. And you've been trying and trying and it's just not working. Well, you know, I may try one of the other approaches. You know, maybe you've been trying all the intellectual stuff and trying to kind of argue them into faith in Christ and maybe you just need to help them meet some other Christians. You know, try that interpersonal approach. Or maybe you never have shared your own testimony or what it is that Christ has done in your own life. And you just need to make it personal in that way. So there's lots of different ways of going about doing this. And you can just be free to be yourself. God has called you to be Christ's ambassador. He has placed you in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your family, because he knows that through you, his light is going to shine into some very dark places. Through you, some hope is going to be found by some people who have been feeling hopeless. Through you, some people are going to experience love and grace, and they're going to hear the good news about Jesus. You are Christ's ambassador, and you can do this best by just being who God created you to be. By letting Christ transform your life, letting him change you and change the way that you behave and think and act toward the people around you. And you know what? Odds are good that if you're letting Jesus change your life, someone's going to find that pretty weird. And they're going to ask you about it. And you're going to have an opportunity just to share. So we'll talk more in the weeks to come. If that part terrifies you, that sharing part terrifies you, we'll talk more about some helpful ways to maybe have that conversation. But for now, two things that I'm thinking about, all right, kind of in response to this. One, please continue to pray. I think I encouraged you to do that last week. Ooh, if I didn't, shame on me. Be praying and asking God, help me to have eyes open to see the people, the opportunities to share your love and to tell people about you. God, if you open a door, I'll trust you and I'll walk through it. I'll have that conversation. So be praying. Maybe there are specific people in your life that you're praying for that you know they don't know Jesus. They don't have that hope. Maybe they think their life is all together, or maybe they feel like their life is falling apart. But regardless of where they are, they don't know Jesus. They don't have hope in him. And maybe God's got you praying for them. Please pray for them. Say, God, please, if you have an opportunity for me to plant a seed, for me to water a seed, for me to share with them some bit of hope, I'll trust you that if you provide that opportunity, I'll walk through that door if you open it. I won't shy away. Be praying for God to provide those opportunities for you to love the people around you. And the second thing is, I would love to help. You know, we started this church in part so that we could work together in this thing. So you don't have to do all the work out there on your own, out there talking to people about Jesus, but we can do this thing together. We can invite some people. That invitational approach, that interpersonal approach, so people can get together and learn some more. And so as we're moving toward the fall, and opportunities to be reaching out and inviting friends to join us at church. Like, if you know somebody who's not a Christian, you're probably not inviting them to come and, like, oh, yeah, Pastor Rich is talking about how we can share our faith in Jesus with people. Why don't you come and learn how you can share your faith with Jesus that you don't have, that you still have questions about? You know, you're probably not, like, eager to invite them to come and hear this kind of a message. But what kinds of things would be helpful to you? What kinds of questions are your friends who don't know God, who don't go to church, what kinds of things are they dealing with? What kinds of questions are they asking? What kinds of situations do they face that we could talk about them here on a Sunday morning, and it would provide an opportunity for you to say, hey, you know what? My pastor is going to be talking about that in 2 weeks. He's going to be talking about that situation right there. Why don't you come with me? I'll take you to breakfast after. It'll be good. It's safe. You can wear shorts. You can do whatever you need to do. You know, it's going to be okay. But I've been finding some really helpful stuff in this whole relationship with Jesus thing, and why don't you join me? So if there is a situation or a question or something at all that you think, you know what, Rich, if you could talk about that on a Sunday, I'm pretty sure I could get my friend to join me. And who knows, but that God might work through that to start them on a journey of trusting Christ. If there is something, share it with me. Let me know. Write it on a card. And make sure you've got your contact info in there, because there are a whole lot of times where I'm going to need to follow up. And I'm going to say, okay, you wrote these words here. What do you mean? What's going on in your friend's life? What's the question? So that I can make sure I address the question your friend is asking. Now, if I get 30 responses, we're not going to take 30 weeks to go through 30 different questions, all right? But I would love to do a little series, like a month-long series or something later this fall, that specifically addresses some of the questions or needs that your friends have. You can invite them to come and to hear what God has to say about that and help them find some hope. And like I said, maybe start them on a journey of discovery that leads them to a relationship with Christ. All right, so pray, and if there's a way I can help, let me know. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll celebrate communion together before we go out there to live this out. Thank you, God. Thank you that someone at some point trusted you enough to have a conversation with us about Jesus, about you. Somebody in our past maybe overcame some awkwardness and invited us to church, or started a conversation about you, God, or about Jesus Christ. Someone, God, in our history got us to the place where we knew enough about you, and we had heard this good news that you love us, and that in Jesus Christ you were reconciling the world to yourself, and you were not counting our sins against us anymore. Somehow, God, you worked through some other people to get us here to saying yes to you and trusting you, reaching out to you for the help and the hope that we so desperately need. God, we thank you for those people. We thank you for those that you have worked through to encourage us, to guide us to you. Now today, God, we pray that you might give us that opportunity to be used by you to help other people find that same help, that same hope that we've been able to find. Thank you, God, that you've given us so many different ways that we can do this. Help us to find those things, those ways that come most naturally to us. God, I pray that you would help us this week to not shy away from opportunities to talk about you. To not try to force it, but not shy away from it either. God, help us to live lives that are marked by your presence. Live lives that are transformed by your love. So that as we live differently here in this world, as people ask questions, we might have opportunities to point them toward you. Thank you, God, for the great love you have shown us in Jesus Christ. We celebrate that love today by this sacrament of Holy Communion. We offer you these gifts of bread and juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Thank you, God. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your Son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him wouldn't have to perish, but could have eternal life, this new life with you. We remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made, taking our sin on himself all the way to the cross, so that by his death and resurrection, our sin could be dealt with. Sin, death, the devil, all could be defeated and overcome, and Jesus could be truly Lord of all. We give you thanks for the opportunity today to celebrate this amazing grace that you have shown to us. We offer you ourselves, God. And we pray that by your Spirit's work in our lives, we might be transformed, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as Christ's ambassadors. Today, God, we acknowledge our need of you. We acknowledge our sins, the ways we have not lived up to your plan for our lives. We confess these things to you, God. And because of Jesus Christ and his faithfulness, we trust you. And we receive from you today mercy and grace and forgiveness. Thank you, God. Thank you for the love you have shown us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you join me in praying the prayer Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song, and we're going to celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And after I take some to Marvin, I'll be up here with a cup of bread and a cup of juice and a basket of bread. Sorry. Okay. You're invited as we sing to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and then return to your seat. This is something Christians have been doing for as long as there have been Christians, as a way of remembering the great love and grace that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. And today, this invitation is open to all of us. So if today you're saying no to sin and yes to Jesus, if today you are grateful for his amazing grace, then the invitation is open. Let's celebrate. Let's give him thanks. Thank you, God, for the amazing grace and love that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us today with the Spirit of Christ, that we might leave this place filled with hope, filled with joy, filled with love for the people around us. Help us to live in this world as Christ's ambassadors. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.